gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Come on, turn that brown upside down, mister. I can't really quit my job soon. I'm playing the ponies now.
Oh, gosh,
I was playing the ponies yesterday on Easter.
And how much did you win?
$17.50.
Yes, that's before taxes.
Why do you pay taxes on something that low?
I'm looking at puppies wearing rabbit ears for Easter.
No. Puppy, no, you're not a bunny. Okay. Wow, I've had entirely too much debauchery this weekend and not nearly enough, what's the word, show prep. But that's all right. No,
not nearly enough sobriety.
I had my own little Easter parade.
Oh, wow.
All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com. When I can, you know, it takes me a while to figure out how to get the pictures out of my phone, and then I'll send them to you. You have to show me again.
Yeah, you can so easily do it.
Right. And then we'll put them on the Facebook thing. But, yeah, I was, I had kind of a surreal Easter weekend. So Easter was yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing the ponies at Santa Anita, the racetrack, with Stephen Stills.
Mm-hmm. Right. You were probably in a luxury box, weren't you? You weren't in amongst the hoi polloi. You really weren't, were you?
He actually drove, and we were all in the car, and, you know, it's because traffic is bad.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make a sign that just said, it's Stephen Stills, bitches. Move. Get out of the way.
That would work.
Yeah. Anyway, no, he's hilarious. So I've never gone, but he and my friend Rob are other aficionados of the ponies. So this is my first and only bet, and I won
$17.50.
Oh. I was very, very excited. Because, you know, you remember my gambling career ended before I lost a quarter in a slot machine in Vegas. And I was like, I'm out. Don't have a stomach for
it. I lost an entire bucket of quarters.
Did you actually read the racing form to see which one you thought might win? No?
No. I didn't.
So you just guessed?
Yeah. Beginner's luck. Beginner's luck.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to go to watch the ponies because I'm afraid, you know, a horse is going to break its leg. Which means I probably shouldn't watch basketball.
Or a basketball player. Holy cow.
My favorite part is there's a carriage. Horses, I know there's a lot of horses there, obviously, but there's also other horses that draw a carriage with a guy with a top hat and
a horse, or whatever.
But anyway, there's a little dog that sits in the carriage and goes around the thing. The dog gets a ride from this. All right, it's not as cute as the dog with the bunny ears. I'm just saying, it was kind of cute.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, and then I did take a picture that we'll post that I was able to label. Crosby, Stills, Nag, and Not So Young.
Hey.
It was me, Stephen, and the horse. You see. All right.
Crosby wasn't there, though.
No.
No.
I know. So it wasn't technically correct.
Okay.
Just go with me.
I'm trying.
Not a bad joke. All right. So,
I'm in no mood for April Fool's shenanigans this morning.
Oh, that's right. I know. We're not a prank-based show.
No, we are not.
War with North Korea. April Fool's. Maybe.
Actually, no. We're sending bombers over there.
Well, F-22. So we got to hope it's not raining.
Yeah. If it's raining, then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so...
We'll bring in a crowd. I'll rain on your aprons.
Oh, we've resurrected Kim Jong-il in honor of
Kim Jong-un will do.
Right. We just assume he sounds exactly the same.
He's the un-Kim.
I thought he sounds like Scott Evil. Isn't that the way you did him last
time? God, you're embarrassing me.
Okay.
Do you have to call it a typo dong, really? Oh, my God.
We think he sounds like a guy from Santa Cruz. That's just what we
Scott
think.
Evil.
Right. That's what we think.
Yeah, let me get my gun. I'll just pop him.
Oh, by the way, speaking of pranks, so it turns out the people that work at the, what's it called, the counter, the betting windows, those things.
Sure.
Yeah, they're fans.
Oh.
And they were like, oh, you're in radio. You're Phil Hendry, right? I was like, oh, that's funny.
They're funny fans.
Yeah, they're funny fans. I was like, shut up. Give me my winnings.
I was recognized in the waiting area of a coffee shop in Palm Springs this weekend.
Look at you.
I know.
Mm. They said, hey, you're that big muscle head guy from...
No, he came up to me and said, hi, Chris, I'm happy to meet you. I'm Christian, but I've come over after listening to you. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you.
You atheist communist.
I know.
Most people find Jesus. You made him lose Jesus.
Well, no, I
hope you're happy.
I think he said I think he meant he was conservative, but then came over to the liberal side. He's still Christian.
You said, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good.
He didn't lose Jesus under the cushions of his couch.
No.
With his 1750 winnings.
Yeah. After being conservative Christian.
Where did he find... It's always in that... He's always in that drawer in the kitchen.
Sure.
Just roll away the cushion and there
Stop
he
it.
Is.
Okay.
The junk drawer.
All right. So...
It's the one that you keep the clothespins and the twisties in. Yeah.
Right.
Oh.
And the wine bottle stoppers.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Speaking of Jesus, could you take out your organ for me?
Oh, okay.
Here's the other weird... Okay. Tell me this is not the weirdest weekend ever. So that was yesterday, the play and the ponies.
Uh-huh.
So Friday, I went with Hot Bree, Melissa Fitzgerald, from my throuple with Jackie Schechner.
Right.
We went to the Stations of the Cross downtown. Have you ever heard of this?
No. Well, I've heard of the Stations of the Cross. I've never...
There's one downtown?
Okay. They reenacted and you follow them around, and Martin Sheen was there.
Oh, wow.
In a crossing guard vest and a... stop sign. It was a little surreal, but it was beautiful.
Don't you usually do this in Jerusalem?
Downtown
LA,
Jerusalem.
Will do.
You know, same thing.
Yeah.
Listen, even on orbits, you can't get a ticket to Jerusalem.
During Holy Week.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. It's going to be expensive. So anyway, but they reenact the scenes of the cross, and you follow them around from station to station, and it's... Right. They run a Catholic, like a soup kitchen called the Hippie Kitchen. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
They do literally the Lord's work.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I did.
Okay. Good
Catholic
for you,
school
though,
flashbacks.
Right.
I wore my uniform. I wore my Catholic school uniform.
Sure you did. But she didn't have the hot kind. She had the
jumper.
The dowdy kind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, I had the Battle of the Hems my entire childhood with my mother. She kept putting them down, and then you roll up the top
sure.
so shorter, so you look like a tart.
And Jim, I think I have news for you. You only find the hot kind in strip clubs.
Yeah, or porn movies.
Yeah,
really,
yeah.
Actual Catholic school, not so hot.
Uh-uh.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah, they're like jumpers. Yeah, and I told you the story, I got in trouble once from the nuns because they said my shirts were not regulation Catholic. They were too clingy or something. And
These look Lutheran to me.
You're wearing a Mennonite hat. What are you doing?
No, it was kind of hilarious because my breasts then, as now, were kind of like concave.
Sure.
So I don't know what they thought it was, you know.
Showing
kind
of off.
Like, right.
No.
Showing off my concave justices. All right, you might as well keep your organ out.
All right.
Because, wow, there's, you know, Pope Frank, the new Pope.
Yep.
Frank is, I like that. He's causing quite the hubbub, apparently.
He
among
is.
Pope watchers.
Really?
Is that what people call... I don't...
Sure.
Something.
Sure. Catholics.
Has there ever been a Pope Seth?
I don't know. They should look into that. Pope Francis has won over many hearts and minds with his simple style and focus on serving the world's poorest. What? That is crazy. He's actually doing stuff that Jesus talked about.
Wow.
This is really throwing them off in the whole, papal watcher world. But he has devastated traditionalist Catholics who adored his predecessor, Pope Benny, for restoring much of the traditional pomp to the papacy. Papacy?
Papacy.
Right. Francis' decision to disregard church law and wash the feet of two girls
is
just not done.
Hang on. What?
Were they in Catholic school outfits? The slutty kind?
Two girls, a Serbian Muslim and
oh.
an Italian Catholic, during a Holy Thursday ritual has become something of the final straw. Evidence that Francis has little or no interest in one of the key priorities of Benedict's papacy, reviving the pre-Vatican II traditions of the Catholic Church.
Hmm.
It's a cause. And can I just say one other thing for a church that is really anti-gay? This stuff is so gay. They're upset that he's not doing the really gay stuff.
Hmm.
The night he was chosen Pope, for instance... Francis emerged from the from St. Peter's Basilica without the ermine-rimmed red velvet cape.
Ermine.
Right, ermine. Or Mosetta, used by Pope's pass for official duties, wearing instead...
And
simple...
by Liberace on several occasions.
Yeah.
Right. They were upset that he did not wear the Liberace gown.
I wish my brother George was here.
Instead, he just wore the simple white cassock of the papacy.
Hmm.
Isn't it amazing that I pronounced any of these words correctly?
Wow.
Anyway, yeah, but so...
Pull up your cassocks.
Yeah. Joan Rivers and Melissa were outraged, apparently. Francis also revived the cardinal's pledges of obedience after his election, not from the chair.
Uh-huh.
You know, he usually does, like, the Bette Midler kind of entrance in the sedan chair. He didn't do that. So that's the other thing they're upset about.
He just walked?
Right. He was at the same level as the other...
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
He's, you know, a pope of the people, if
for
you will.
For traditionalists who fondly recall the days when popes were carried on a sedan chair, like Bette Midler.
Right.
Or Gaga.
Or Madeleine Kahn.
Right.
None of
them. Most famously, Madeleine Kahn.
And yet Steph, on the same foot at the same time, my are falling off.
None of them have ever been pope, strangely enough.
No. That may have stung, according to traditionalists. In the days since, he's called for intensified dialogue with Islam, a gesture that rubs traditionalists the wrong way again.
Well, they can go. Whatever.
Washing the feet of the two women, though, he jolted traditionalists who for years have been unbending and insisting the ritual is for men only.
You know, they should really try to get away from that whole aspect.
Right. Perhaps. Anyway, that's I just thought, you know, a little post-Easter roundup of what Pope watchers are feeling.
And Islam is the youngest of the Abrahamic religions, so it makes sense for him to reach out.
Right.
Sure.
Right. Yeah, well, he's not poping correctly, according to the traditionalists.
Oh, God.
He's not popey enough.
No. He needs to be considerably popier.
Sure.
All right. Seven. I'm pretty sure that most of that entire thing was sacrilegious, and we apologize.
It was sacrilegious.
Right. 17 minutes after the hour. All right, we got Rude Pundit coming up. We got Eric Bollert. We got Julia Sweeney, who is hilarious. If it's not one thing, it's your mother. That's her new.
That's right.
Her new book. We will talk to her much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
No.
Three
not,
and a half
not
by
four.
My watch.
Okay.
Not
just
sound by
4 minutes.
4 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Save the world. Make a note of it.
That's it.
23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number. Rude Pundit. Coming up at the bottom of the hour. Zoot in Albuquerque. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Zoot.
Hi.
Hello.
Can you understand me over my cheap ass phone?
Yes. Yes, I can.
Sounds pretty good.
Oh, good. Good. Oh, thanks. Good. I never thanked you for my 15 seconds of fame. I'm the guy who sent in Bob Dylan singing Like a Rolling Sack of Crap.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
You were talking about, you know, the new Pope's concern for the poor, and I got to admit, I'm a little worried. Who was the Pope before John Paul? Oh, Pope George Ringo, right?
Right. Yes. Uh-huh.
And, I mean, Jim, kind of a conspiracy sausage for Jim. I mean, weren't there some theories about, you know, how innocently that Pope was passed away so quickly?
Yes.
Do I give any credence?
Right. Going against the grain. And, there's a lot of thought that he was poisoned.
But. Yeah. A lot of Da Vinci Code stuff in there. Okay.
Yeah. All these wealthy, powerful interests.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd point it out.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Zoot.
Okay. Are you wearing a zoot suit?
I was just going to say, I was trying to get to a zoot suit joke, and I just couldn't. Zoot tired.
Zoot in French means darn.
Zoot alors.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for that.
No problem.
All right. So.
It's a Who song.
Okay.
Zoot suit, but that's actually not the name of the song. Anyway,
okay. All right. Welcome back to Stray Thoughts.
ADD Theater.
ADD
Theater. With Stephanie Miller.
Shiny Keys. Okay.
Squirrel.
Okay. Shockingly, there is some outrage over what Don Young, Representative Don Young, Republican of Alaska, has to say. How's that RNC autopsy thing going? How's that working for everybody? Are they softening their image in the Hispanic community? How's that going?
Not with a-holes like this saying stuff like this.
Like this.
My father had a ranch. We used to hire 50 to 60 wetbacks to pick tomatoes. You know, it takes two people to pick the same tomatoes now.
Uh-huh.
It's all done by machine.
Well, you know, he grew up in an era when that was okay.
But he lives in an era now where that's not okay.
Right. Inside voice.
Yeah.
Inside voice.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I love that he just kept going like there was really nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I told you my landlady in New York?
Yes.
Like that.
He's playing basketball with the...
Yeah, when my friend and I stopped, I just said, you know, Stevie plays basketball with the N-words. And I was like, okay.
That's not okay.
What? You do play basketball with the N-word. Stop saying that!
Right. What did I say? What?
Yeah, and she wasn't
I
even sure.
Them Chinese?
She wasn't even sure which part of it was wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, so ironically, there is outrage, but not from Tea Party Hispanics. Hmm. Huh. Pretty much maintaining radio silence on that whole thing. ABC News reporting pressure is intense, the outrage factor high after Representative Don Young's racial slur overnight on public radio in his home state of Alaska. We just played the clip.
Mm-hmm.
First, in what many thought was far from an apology, he said he meant no disrespect to any oversensitive wetbacks. What did I say? Many felt that was far from an apology. He never used actually the word sorry or apology. So then after a day of getting beaten up by his own party, he made a full mea culpa. What's missing even now, though? The GOP Hispanic Republican comment, especially from the Tea Party wing of the GOP, Marco Rubio? Marco?
Rubio.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I was looking for crickets and I can't find them now. Oh, there they are. Marco?
Rubio.
No.
Hello.
I love this. His staff said that he was observing Good Friday and would have no comment.
Right. Sure.
That means you can have no comment?
Sure.
Well, you know, he's Cuban. Maybe he doesn't care about the Mexican immigrants.
Oh, right.
Because Cuban immigrants are not...
Yeah.
Those.
They don't cross the Rio Grande.
Exactly. That's where the name...
Yes.
Right.
Although...
It's a different kind of wet he doesn't care about.
Over
right.
On okay. Boats. Which,
anywho.
Senator. It's an entirely different kind of water. So, right. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. Nothing.
She's and from Ted McCarthy.
Senator Raul Labrador. Labrador, right? Am I saying that right?
Raul
Labrador from Idaho. Did not answer repeated phone calls or emails. Interesting. No one casa.
So to speak.
There were no one casa. of the Hispanic Republican.
¿Cómo se dice douchebag?
And I think just like that. All right. Meanwhile, Senator Jeff Flake talking about immigration reform of the great state of Arizona.
We've still got a ways to go in terms of looking at the language and making sure that it's everything we thought it would be. But we're closer, certainly.
All right.
Well, you were until Don Young opened his big yap.
Yeah.
Senator Chuck Schumer on
people will be legalized. In other words, not citizens, but they'll be allowed to work, come out of the shadows, travel.
It sounds like they're making real progress on immigration reform. So
Yeah, and that's what I said before. It's like, who cares why Republicans are doing the right thing as long as they're doing the right thing. Chuck Schumer again.
With the agreement between business and labor, every major policy issue has been resolved. Now, everyone, we've all agreed that we're not going to come to a final agreement until we see draft legislative language, and we agree on that.
And finally, well-known Southern belle, Lindsey Graham.
from his fainting couch.
Yes.
Oh, my stars.
It controls who gets a job. As to the 11 million, they'll have a pathway to citizenship, but it will be earned, it will be long, and it will be hard, and I think it is fair.
Really?
Oh, boy.
Really?
Do not isolate just that soundbite, that part of it. Do not do that.
That would just be so rude.
That would be so rude. It would be immature.
Okay.
29 minutes after the hour. Rude. Speaking of rude, Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I also want to thank you for controlling yourself sexually while we spend time together on this adventure.
All right, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. I'm sorry, what was that, Senator Graham?
It will be long and it will be hard.
Right.
That's rude.
What? You're right.
Sleep up at the rude pundit. Pundit.
It will be long and it will be hard.
Yes, but we will get through this rude pundit segment. Hello, rude pundit.
Thank you for the flashback to my creepy uncle.
Sorry about that. So rudeness, great stuff on the Supreme Court doings last week.
Well, thank you.
You write the Supreme Court hearing on the challenge, DOMA in particular. You say a couple of the justices seem shocked that members of Congress who voted for it might have been anti-gay bigots. And then you go through all of the quotes of what people said back then, and it absolutely was based on nothing but bigotry, right?
Oh, totally, especially in the House. I mean, in the Senate, there was a little more decorum, which means a little more coded language.
Right.
But in the House, and this certainly wasn't even close to all of the homophobic remarks that were in the House of Representatives.
Right.
But it was just a parade of people that were just letting it fly. Everything short of flat out declaring war on gays and lesbians.
Right. I mean, you were talking about the moment. I love that there were audible gasps when Justice Kagan read the actual thing. It's like it was kind of hilarious because you said when she read the actual report on DOMA, she said Congress decided to reflect and honor the collective moral judgment to express moral disapproval of homosexuality. It was a clarifying moment. She then asked, "Is that what happened in '96?" And you were talking about the lawyer Paul Clement seemed stunned, fumbled around, and then sidestepped the question. I mean, and that's the whole question.
Right, exactly. And it's ludicrous to even suggest that there was anything to this, as if there was some kind of rationality in let's let the states decide whether or not gays and lesbians should have equal protection under the law. So it was great. Kagan showed Clement her pimp hand, and he had nothing to answer to.
You actually highlighted some of the best ones. He was a representative at the time, Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, who's now, of course, a senator. But he said, the fact is, no society has lived through the transition to homosexuality and the perversion which it lives and what it brought forth. What?
Yeah, I mean, he was great. He was like, why are we hear about diversity, but we do not hear about perversity, going all Don King on us there.
And here was one of my favorites, Texas Representative Steve Stockman, who is still in the House. A union between two men or two women is no more a marriage than a union between three women and a man in his car, or a cat and its yarn.
But you see, here's the thing. A cat and its yarn, a cat's like opposed to its yarn. It's just batting it all over the place. The spousal abuse charges there would be tremendous.
Yes.
But no one believes the yarn.
No. Yarn, they're liars. They're well-known liars.
Please, never mind. There was a joke there that I just can't make.
All right. You also, moving on to the gay marriage debate, you say it can seem like the justices were trying to figure out a way to wimp out overall. But you made the same point a lot of legal analysts actually made, is that, you know, if you look back at Obamacare, maybe not, right?
Right. Well, that's the thing. Everybody was predicting that Obamacare was doomed because of the arguments at the Supreme Court. And Jeffrey Toobin, perhaps most famously, predicting that it was going to be struck down. And then the shock of it, of the decision-making process showing something completely different. And that possibly even minds were changed in the discussions between the justices.
And you told a yarn about a fish.
Yeah.
A lot of analogies in your piece this week. But, I mean, you were talking about, how they're handling it, that the way you said, look at John Roberts on Obamacare, he played with that fish until its scales were falling off and all the predictions about that outcome were wrong.
Right, the idea being that, and I did not intend the blog to be so cat-centric this
week. Right.
But the justices, when they're deliberating or when they're asking questions during the hearings, they're like a cat that's just sort of batting around a fish that just got caught on a dock. And like, oh, let's see what happens if we do this. Oh, look how high it jumps. That's interesting. I mean, that's Scalia constantly. And then, actually kind of fun, it's also Sotomayor,
right,
who's just seeing what can happen, what buttons can be pressed.
Right.
But that's so we don't know. There's all kinds of tea leaves we can read, but ultimately we're shocked all the time. And it does seem that that Kennedy, especially being that swing vote, is the one that's sitting there going, yeah, but there is a moral component here. It's not just about standing and whether or not states have the right to make these decisions.
Right. Well, and also you were saying the hopeful thing is that he's bringing up the children, the 40,000 children. children of gays and lesbians, right?
Right. Yeah. That he's the only one that actually at some point shifted it back during the Prop 8 discussion to this sort of central moral question of aren't we going to do damage to the people of to these 40,000 children if Prop 8 stands?
Yeah, exactly. And you did some good old fashioned research this week, didn't you, sir? You were
I did. I was Lexus Nexusing my pants off.
I bet you were.
But the Loving versus Virginia, you know, obviously
interracial marriage,
right?
Yeah.
You were, the lawyer defending the state's law that made it a felony for whites and blacks to marry, and you talk about literally, it's the exact argument that they're making now. I mean, almost verbatim in some cases, right?
Oh yeah. That the Assistant Attorney General of Virginia in the case, R.D. McIlwain, said that he was defending the law. And the thing that I actually didn't know about the law until I started doing some research, it was only a felony for whites and blacks to marry. Somebody who's Asian could marry whoever the hell he or she wanted to, as long as it was somebody of the opposite sex.
Right.
But racially, any other race could marry any other race. It was specifically whites and blacks.
Right.
And
you were talking about, this that he brought out the science book he read by a professor. This is like literally someone citing Conservapedia the other day.
This was a real book.
Right.
This
I know.
Right.
And he said, I do not say the author of this book would advocate the prohibition of such marriages by law, but we do say that he personally and clearly expresses his view as a social scientist that interracial marriage are definitely undesirable and they hold no promise for a bright and happy future for mankind.
Right.
Yikes.
I just love that. And then he said, interracial marriages bequeath to the progeny of those marriages more psychological problems than parents have a right to bequeath to them.
Right.
And whatever problems there were, all I could think was, well, yeah, because of douchebags like you
right.
that are making it so hard for them.
Right. That's what you see. You're right. You say if there were any difficulties with children of interracial parents at the time, it was probably mostly because society around them was filled with racist holes. Who wouldn't let them just live their lives? One of the things that ended the reign of racist assholes was the Loving decision, ironically, mm-hmm. right?
Right, and that was a unanimous decision, from the left and the right, the justices said, well, yeah, we're not idiots. This is a stupid law that obviously denies people their rights.
Yeah.
So.
In your final post, they're losing their minds again, gay marriage at SCOTUS edition. you say, look up some of the ways, you decided to look up some of the ways in which the right wing is freaking the out over the possibility that one of their last brutish but legal prejudices might be consigned to the pile of history. So, and what you did a very simple thing in terms of your search engine. Instead of searching gay marriage, you Googled homosexual marriage, right?
That's right. Because, you see, most of the time on the right, just like they say Democrat as an adjective, they say homosexual marriage because then it's got the word sex in it.
Yeah. Right.
And
that conjures up ickiness.
And it also
right, all of the icky ways in which mouths are used during non-straight sex.
And it
right.
also sounds more clinical. You know, it's like you're talking about not people, but just
right.
things.
Not
right.
Having
yeah.
lives together. But
right.
Yeah. Just the, you're not what your naughty bits are doing. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So that's their messaging. That's like a Frank Luntz approved thing or
mm-hmm.
something.
And you talk about Eric Erickson's piece about he makes the fundamentalist argument that individual rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness aren't allowed to impede on his belief that an invisible sky wizard said gays getting married is icky.
And man, he has been freaking the F out over this. I mean, he has been talking about that, why would you let your neighbor go to hell? I mean, tweeting things like that you're not a good neighbor if you let your neighbor do things that are going to let them go to hell.
Wow.
He's been going, I think CNN was holding him back.
If your neighbors are gay, you should be knocking on the door telling them to stop gaying?
You cut that gay out. I'm sorry. The shrubs here are just really, really freaking me out.
Yeah.
All I do is I only see penises everywhere. Penises. Why is that? It must be because you're gay.
Listen, this fight for marriage equality, in the words of Senator Lindsey Graham, you know what? It's going to be.
It will be long and it will be hard.
Right. Now, the other thing, I learned something new from you every week. I did not realize the Family Research Council's motto is, let's see, man, we are all it when the old people who hate queers die. Is that actually emblazoned on their letterhead?
Oh, it is. Yeah. It is. It's what it's what you get every time you donate to them. It's like, oh, thank you. Are you under 70?
I'm 69 and three quarters.
Well, because, you know, that makes you a youngster when it comes to the Family Research Council and Fox News' demographic. You're a skate punk if you're just 69 years old.
Rudeness, great stuff as always. Talk to you next week, honey.
Bye.
There he goes. TheRudePundit.blogspot.com. Well, we're all busy, but you know what? You can't.
What?
Excuse me. Why am I talking over me again?
I have no idea.
I hate when I interrupt me. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's not radio. It's Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by TheraBreath Mouth Wetting Lozenges. Pop a great-tasting mandarin mint. TheraBreath lozenges help stop uncomfortable dry mouth fast, and the toothpaste and the mouthwash is spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
TheraBreath Mouth Wetting Lozenges and the toothpaste and the mouthwash available at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores. All right, Eric Mollert from Media Matters coming up at the top of the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Roman in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Roman.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi. Can I be the official professional malcontent of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Please.
We needed one.
Please.
Excellent. I just want to make a point about DOMA, but first, just to what Republicans always say with regard to if you do this, it's a slippery slope because people can start to marry turtles and so forth.
Right.
That's the ludicrous
argument. Well, Elaine Chao already did that.
Oh.
Well,
what?
She's
married to Mitch McConnell.
Turtles can't contract, right? So animals can't contract. Marriage is a contract. And so any party with a legal capacity for making a contract should be able to make one with whomever they wish. With regard to DOMA, though, I just wanted to say that it's clearly motivated by animus. And the reason being is if you want to defend marriage, you don't prohibit people from being married. If you want to defend marriage, ban divorce. It's an attenuated issue that they've, you know, but I think it's dying. And with regard to Prop 8, the state, for Republicans to say this is a state issue, fails to read the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment, which provides equal protection, is designed to prevent states from denying protection. It's specifically to protect people from states.
Yeah. Well, in the words of the immortal Bill O'Reilly, that's all they've got is Bible thumping, and it is amazing how selective they are. I've read more Bible quotes than since Catholic school, since this whole case has been. But, you know, they were talking about what he just referenced about no divorce. Jesus very clearly says that, I think, except for sexual immorality or whatever, you know, a man shall not divorce his wife. The other thing, what about give up all your possessions?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of things that nobody would even dream of doing
Absolutely.
That are in the Bible. Ed in Philly, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ed.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, the reason I'm calling is the whole thing about the immigration is a total joke. I mean, it could be fixed today, literally. I mean, everybody who signs up for a new job has to have a Social Security number to put on the W-2 form. And if you have a national registry, and I know this is big government and it's evil and all this other stuff, so if Ed from Philly all of a sudden signed up for a job in Missouri and you have a registry there, you go, maybe something is wrong here. And if you keep the employers so they're actually, you know, make it so that they only employ people who are legal, then their need for the bridge, you know, for the wall down in Texas goes to pot, too. I mean, the only people who'll be hurt by this are the friggin' prison guards and the immigration people. I mean, we need to do something about this. This is real simple to fix.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. There's an illegal employer problem, and people, you know, a lot of times have looked the other way at that. All right. What was I going to say? Oh, you know, by the way, there's so many shootings that I know it's hard to keep track of, which is we had, obviously, in Texas, the DA killing, but out here in California, interesting, just this whole debate last week about, you know, the Supreme Court. A 16-year-old boy accused of shooting a classmate at the California high school wrote a story posted online about a bullied student who kills his former tormentors as an adult. They found a piece. It's 16-year-old Brian Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
describes the killing as several people by torture and other morbid means, but friends of Oliver say he was teased by his classmates for his red hair and social awkwardness. And a lot of people, we've been making that analogy all week about, you know, why kids are, for whatever the perception is, are different. They're gay, they have red hair, they're historically being left-handed, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The story was posted online last summer, features a character who is tormented by his peers. Bullies douse the character with a bucket of goat's blood at graduation. This is, like, this
Carrie.
Is Carrie. This is Carrie.
Yeah. It's a good thing he didn't have telekinesis.
Right. And years later, he kills the student who tipped the bucket. But, you know, and this is the problem, is kids these days have access to these kind of firearms, and it's... All right, Senator Lindsey Graham. By the way, he has said that he won't join gun background check filibuster if amendments are allowed.
Before you'd expand the background check, there are 76,000 people last year failed a background check, and less than 1% got prosecuted. There are 9,000 people in 2010 failed a background check who were felons on the run, and none of them were prosecuted. So before you expand background checks to include private individuals, let's put some resources into the current system we have that's clearly broken.
Doing that will be long and hard.
Yes, that will be long and hard. He said he will not join his Republican colleagues.
It will be long and it will be hard.
Right. He will not join his colleagues in filibustering a motion to proceed to debate on gun legislation. Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, they announced in a letter last week they opposed any legislation that will serve as a vehicle for any additional gun restrictions. Oy, two more senators, Rubio and James Inhofe, have also has since joined them. But Graham told CNN's Candy Crowley that he supports an open process will be long and hard.
In a related story, a Fremont, Utah gun lobbyist fell victim to a robbery when his AR-15 was stolen from his car. Salt Lake City Tribune reports.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Great.
Okay. All right. By the by. So the right wing is freaking out over this Jim Carrey video.
Yeah, they are.
The Funny or Die thing where he plays Charlton Heston.
He doesn't play Charlton Heston.
No,
he makes fun of Charlton
Heston. That.
No, yeah.
he plays Charlton Heston.
Yeah.
He does.
Oh, in it? Okay, because I only saw the singing part.
No, he plays
Heston.
Yeah.
All right.
So Dana Perino on Red Eye. They had to bleep her?
Yeah.
That little potty mouth.
In Jim Carrey's case, it doesn't make him a hypocrite. It makes him a...
Wow.
Here's my biggest problem with it, is that he goes after somebody who can't defend himself. He goes after Charlton Heston, who passed away.
Yes.
And it doesn't even make any sense. Does he think anyone of his fans knows that Charlton Heston won all the great movies he did?
Yes.
And that he was the president of the NRA for 5 years.
Yeah,
they don't know that.
That
so yes, he's basically
do.
Making fun of somebody who can't come back and defend themselves. If he would have gone after somebody like...
Ted Nugent.
Yeah, right.
Why not Ted Nugent? He's alive.
He's a scared little...
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was Greg Gutfeld, the host of course. Red Eye, yes.
Hole was the word that she used several times. Wow. That is... You know, now he probably should just come back and do one on, what's his name? Ted Nugent. I'm sure he'll get to that, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Why not? By the by, Don Young is... just in case you're thinking that the Republican Party is still more racist, not necessarily, homophobic as well. An RNC committeeman from Michigan pushing back against calls for his resignation after making inflammatory comments about gays and lesbians. On his Facebook page, he posted remarks on Wednesday. He said the homosexual lifestyle is filthy.
And you would know this how?
And it will reduce your lifespan.
And you would know this how?
Oh, he's been reading God
he
Hates.
He posted statistics with little backing evidence that says gays are responsible for over half of suicides and 60% of all syphilis.
1,000,000% of all venereal disease and murder is because of gays.
Right. He said he has no plans to resign.
I found it on the interwebs.
Right. He has no plans to resign. He said if the party doesn't stand on its principle, we'll lose our base. Our homophobic base is what he means. Okay. Right.
Does he know how many closeted gays there are in the Republican Party?
Nothing about chlamydia in here, interestingly. It's syphilis, I guess.
Chlamydia?
No. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, back with Eric Bowler next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Well, I'm walking on sunshine. Well,
is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Monday, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Oh, you can get one of these magical t-shirts there, in fact. And you can get tickets to the big
Hey, one. Chicago, you say twice isn't enough?
15 is my limit.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is returning to the Chicago Theater on April 13th.
With filthy mouths and bad attitudes.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. Come see the tour that sparked the number one comedy album and its own TV documentary.
Who can argue with that?
The Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the Chicago Theater on April 13th. Sweet Home Chicago is about to get a little more sugar from Mama.
Thank you, hurry, hurry. All right, it's Monday. You know what that means, everybody. That means it's time for me to sing my
Eric
own jingle.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard. Loving the tweets as usual. That's my. Some people like peeps over Easter weekend. I will stick with my tweets from Eric Bollard. We were talking about. It is amazing. Jim Carrey is just freaking the right wing out with a comedy video, right?
Yeah, you know he did. What was a little spoof on. Gun ownership and Charlton Heston in particular.
Right.
And so the folks at Fox went crazy, you know, people on Fox the Five, you know, they spent all week, you know, just denouncing him. And, you know, I think for them it ties into this, you know, Hollywood hates America and all these things like that. But, yeah, they took it very, very seriously. Probably the only people ever to take Jim Carrey very, very seriously. I mean, it was obviously a comedy bit with a political satire, and they got all bent out of shape, and then Jim Carrey finally answered back, called him a colostomy bag that's bursting at media colostomy bag that's bursting at the seams, thought was a pretty good description. I hadn't really thought of Fox News in those terms, but
your tweet was hot. TwitterCon's liberal Jim Carrey isn't funny. These are people who still laugh at Dennis Miller and think Victoria Jackson's a hoot. It really is. It all has to do with politics, right? They don't. I mean, that's what they judge it on. Not
they don't
actual.
Get satire,
right?
They don't get satire. They don't get comedy. And you know, it's interesting that you know, I think there, you know, there was that RNC report talking about Republicans trying to be more inclusive and more tolerant. And I think there's sort of this desperate attempt for them, you know, for conservatives just to sort of be more hip and understanding how pop culture works. And then they freak out for this sort of Jim Carrey comedy video. So I think they're incapable of understanding comedy or laughing at themselves or anything along those lines.
Get your filthy paws off Charlton Heston, you damn dirty ape!
Exactly. Well, and by the way, I love the other complaint is always that liberals are filthy. Did you hear? We just played the Dana Perino clip. Here's Dana Perino on Red Eye.
In Jim Carrey's case, it doesn't make him a hypocrite. It makes him a...
Wow!
Here's my biggest problem with it, is that he goes after somebody who can't defend himself. He goes after Charlton Heston, who passed away.
Yes.
And it doesn't even make any sense. Does he think anyone of his fans knows that Charlton Heston won all the great movies he did?
Yes.
And then he was the president of the NRA for 5 years. They don't know that, so he's basically making fun of somebody who can't come back and defend themselves. If he would have gone after somebody like...
Ted Nugent.
Yeah, right.
Why not Ted Nugent? He's alive.
He's a scared little...
Yes.
Oh, she's so cute when she's wrong.
Right. Yes.
Right. This is the same conservative movement that spent last week attacking and smearing Obama's teenage daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're now lecturing Jim Carrey about he's going after... It's not fair who he's attacking because Charlton Heston isn't around to defend himself. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Give me a break. Let's stop with the lecturing. Let's stop with the hypocrisy. And why do they get so freaked out over this comedy video? I mean, seriously.
I know. And by the way, you were talking about the... the Obama's daughter's vacation. You say, by the way, Iraq, it turns out Iraq war it costs equal $4 trillion. But, yes, let's freak out over the cost of Obama's vacations. I mean, it's – and, again, you can look at just days on vacation, and George Bush by far outweighs any other president, right?
Yeah, George Bush, I think, spent the equivalent of 3 years away from the White House, mostly at the ranch. Look, you know, it started because a week ago today, Breitbart published where the daughters were vacationing.
Wow.
Right. You know, it's a long tradition that news outlets do not disclose that kind of information. Well, it's not that tough to find it out. You're not going to win a Pulitzer, especially with social media and people taking Twitter photos.
Yeah.
It's not, they pretended they had this big scoop. It's not a big scoop. It's common decency. So then they defended it, saying where they were vacationing was vital news interest, you know, because of sequester or White House tours. So then they dropped the part where it was important where they were because no one bought it. And so then it all became about taxpayer money and all this stuff and, you know, ignoring the fact the Obamas pay for their kids' vacation and all this stuff. So, right, so then it became a – Let's count the pennies on the behalf of taxpayers. And these are the same people who to this day will not acknowledge the $4 trillion mistake in Iraq. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's no basis for them to stand up and talk about any of this stuff. And I find, you know, as I kept tweeting all week, these grown men at Breitbart obsessing over Obama's teenage daughter's vacation is just shameless and kind of creepy and just weird for a so-called news organization.
Right. Yeah. And once again, the word unprecedented. I don't remember any president's kids ever being covered like that. Do you?
No, and they say, oh, the Bush daughters, we wrote, you know, liberals hated the Bush daughters and wrote about them. No, they were in the news a couple times, a couple embarrassing incidents with underage drinking.
Right, because they were arrested.
That was news. I believe they may have been arrested. That was news. But this idea that people were, like, sniffing around trying to find out, you know, where they were going on vacation and then publishing it, and then calling it an exclusive, and then claiming their whereabouts on non-official events was vital news. I mean, nobody did any of that stuff. I mean, that's not what people are interested in.
Interesting.
Liberals had much bigger problems to fight during the Bush years, like, you know, the destruction of the economy and our military.
Yeah, there's that. Unnecessary wars.
Yeah.
So, by the way, we've been talking about the gun debate, and interesting about them freaking out over a comedy video that Jim Carrey did on the subject.
Yeah.
And you say, stay classy, men with loaded assault rifles intimidate moms gathered at gun safety rally.
That was in Indianapolis, where they have an open, you know, permit carry, and it was I believe there was 100 events that day around the country trying to get, you know, Congress to move on this background checks and some sort of gun control. And it was reminiscent of the Tea Party rallies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of these right wing folks showed up with their, you know, assault weapons strapped to their chests. And it was an interesting piece. The local Fox News in Indianapolis did a report on it, but they never showed these assault weapons draped off these guys.
Yeah.
When they did their local news report, it was only from the shoulders up. You know, and the whole point is the shocking, you know, image of these guys surrounding these mobs, these moms, with their assault rifles. And the point was to intimidate them, and it probably worked because some of the organizers said they're going to think about doing it again because they're bringing these children to the event.
Yeah, and they were AR-15s, the very gun used at Newtown.
Yeah,
nice, classic.
That's right.
And so that's
the state of our gun debate.
Yeah, exactly. And you wrote a great piece, of course, as usual, alarmed by GOP's tarnished image, conservatives still won't call out Fox News by name. And, you know, you make a good point, mostly because they're busy getting jobs there. Right? So they refuse to state the obvious that, you know, Fox News is what's hurting the Republican Party, right?
Oh, yeah, and again, we go back to that RNC report talking about the messaging has to be changed. The tone of the messaging has to be changed. We have to be seen as more tolerant. We can't be seen as just Obama bashing. What does that describe? It describes Roger Ailes' programming model.
So they shouldn't be seen, basically.
Yeah.
What saying.
The RNC report did not mention Fox News. Eric Erickson, you know, when he was at CNN, you know, he wrote a column saying, you know, the conservatives have got to get away from this phony outrage. Nobody cares about, you know, we shouldn't be talking about Benghazi every day for 6 months and things like that. So he did this whole column about this sort of phony outrage, which Fox News basically copyrighted. And then a week later, he got a job at Fox News.
Yeah.
So he was very wise in his career path, not to mention Fox News. And in the most recent, why I wrote that piece on Friday, was John Podhoretz, the commentary, again, saying, you know, it's time to get serious. These caricatures that the right wing and particularly conservative media has created out about Obama, you know, they're just making his critics look foolish. We've got to get serious. We've got to get substantive. And again, who created these caricatures of Obama? It was Fox News, but no mention in the column. So, you know, it's interesting that after the election and this year begins to unfold, Republicans and conservatives clearly understand the problem. It's a messaging problem. It's a perception problem. It's an image problem. And they all know the problem revolves around Fox News, and nobody will say it.
Yeah, because they won't be invited on Fox News.
And not only either they're going to get a paycheck or they won't be invited as a guest, or, I mean, it is the gorilla. You cannot, they have, Fox has created or consumed so much power in the Republican Party. There's no way right now anyone has the enough standing or power to try to call them out. And that's why they're sort of doomed with this model that they've created.
Yep, absolutely. Eric Boland, great stuff as always. We will see you next week, my friend.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, there. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Pull over. Your DWL. Driving while laughing. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
God, Becky, look at her butt. It is so big. They only talk to her.
Stephanie Miller.
Because she looks like a total prostitute.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Baby got ballet.
Oh, 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Actress, comedian extraordinaire Julia Sweeney coming up in just a few minutes. Phil in Boston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Steph.
Hi,
Mooks. What's going on?
Hello.
Hey,
hello.
You know, I'm going to absolutely have some kind of cerebral hemorrhage if I hear one more Republican that signed Sensenbrenner's bill back in 2000. There was a Republican senator from, or congressman, I believe he's a congressman from Wisconsin, and back in 2005, I think it was 2005, he snuck this thing onto one of those emergency war supplementals. You know, which is how they got so much of this horrible legislation through the Congress, was by tacking it onto war spending bills. You remember that?
Yeah,
nightmare.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That basically neutered the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms.
The ATF, they keep, and then they scream about enforcement and the laws on the books, and there
exactly.
is no, but right. Right.
I'm going to lose my mind. I mean, I've heard about 40 or 50 Republicans since Newtown come out and say, well, why do we need new regulations when we're not even enforcing the laws that we have on the books
yeah.
already?
And why aren't we enforcing them?
Of you.
Right. Because you made sure we have nobody to run the ATF.
And he knows damn well. He knows damn well that that's what they did, and that's why the laws aren't being enforced. It's absolute insanity.
Yep, absolutely. Very good point. Thank you. Dave in London, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. You mean London, like London, England?
Yes. Good afternoon. It's about 3:30 in the afternoon here. And listen to you guys on the web. And, and you're a link to home for many of us who are living in Doma exile. We love you.
Hooray!
So, thank you, Dave.
You guys need to know there was a conference call last night with the DOMA Project with lawyers talking to many of us who are same-sex couples living abroad because our partners can't live in the U.S. And it turns out even if Section 3 of DOMA is struck down, many couples like us still won't have federal recognition. Turns out Edith Windsor was right when she said the word marriage is magic.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for example, here in the U.K., they're called civil partnerships. Or in Germany, they're called Zwillinge. Because they're not called marriage, there's a loophole here in this victory. and that it still will not qualify for recognition by the federal government because it's not called the word marriage. So when people say,
yeah,
why can't two people just be happy with civil unions or domestic partnerships? There is a huge difference.
And right away, when someone uses the phrase you people, you know that it's not going to end well for whatever group they're addressing. Yeah.
So it's you know, what we're going to have to do is we'll either have to make an extra trip to the United States to one of the states that has same-sex marriage, you know, Massachusetts, Iowa, or hopefully soon California, and get married again, then reapply, you know, for immigration spousal, you know, green cards, or go to a country in Europe that has same-sex marriage like the Netherlands, which,
yeah,
mind you, could be seen. But marriage is a word that matters.
Yeah.
And Edith Wins is right. The word is magic. So thanks for everything you guys do. We love listening to hear.
Thank you, Dave.
All right.
Thank
Cheerio.
You, yeah, exactly. Or whatever
chip,
it
chip.
Is. It's time for tea, something. Good afternoon.
What his favorite football club is? Arsenal or Tottenham?
Actually, it'd be time for
Chelsea.
Tea. Time for tea in about half an hour.
Right.
Oh.
Okay.
That would be
delightful.
It would be 4 o'clock then.
By the way, this made news. Senator Jeff Flake, a Republican of Arizona, on Meet the Press had this to say.
Could you support a Republican presidential candidate someday who supported same-sex marriage?
Oh, I think that's inevitable. There will be one, and I think he'll receive Republican support, or she will. So I think that that yes, that the answer is yes.
Which, that's big news. I mean, Karl Rove said it, but he's not an elected official. That's
right.
Actually.
And Jeff Flake is from Arizona. He's very, very conservative. He's Mormon. And for someone to say something like that.
He didn't sound happy about it.
No.
But
for someone like that to say something like that,
right,
is kind of big.
Guess
right.
I'll have to live with it.
Yeah, it was like the Rush Limbaugh clip we put. He said the same thing.
Well, the debate's lost.
And he said.
It's not that because it's the right thing to do. It's just, oh, we lost a thing politically, and now. Damn, the gays have rights.
Well. And when he referenced the president, he said he or she, which is kind of movement in
what's
the right direction.
What's happening to the Republican?
Well, I think they just recognize the inevitability of it, and they probably finally realized how many closeted gays there are in the Republican Party.
Yeah, but behind closed doors, the conversations are still exactly the same.
Exactly.
Just a room full of Don Youngs. All right, Jim, time for a, I guess, the quote. Who said, I'd like to respond to all the conservative bundits out there personally, but I'm far too busy not stumping for the gun companies. Who said that?
Ted Nugent.
No, that's a bad guess. Jim Carrey.
Yeah, fine, I kind of figured.
Who said, in my opinion, Fox News is a last resort for kind of, sort of, almost journalists whose options have been severely limited by their extreme and intolerant views, a media colostomy bag that has begun to burst the seams and should be emptied before it becomes a public health issue.
Carrie Noonan. She's a friend of mine.
No. Jim Carrey once again. One final round. Mm-hmm. I sincerely believe that in time, good people will lose patience with the petty and poisonous behavior of those bullies, and Fox News will be remembered as nothing more than a giant culture fart that no amount of garlic could cure.
Harry Carey.
No. It's Jim Carrey. That was you were getting close to. He's just poking Fox with a sharp stick repeatedly.
Doink, doink, doink.
Exactly.
Get your damn hands off my guns, you damn dirty ape.
All right. Chuck Hagel, by the way, we were talking about North Korea earlier this morning. Chuck Hagel.
Well, I don't think we're poking back or responding. But, the North Koreans have to understand that what they're doing is very dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jim said we may be sending F-22s over, so let's just
hope
that
it doesn't rain.
Right, yeah. Pray for no rain, otherwise we're screwed.
We're also sending B-52s, which are older than I am.
Maybe they'll send Rock Lobster.
There you go. I was going to get to that joke.
Oh, I jumped on you.
Yeah. But it wasn't Iraq. It was North Korea.
I'm trying to participate today. I really am.
You poor little feller. You're having a tough day. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You may look like a bum, but you got a lot of talent.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Speaking of, actress Julia Sweeney coming up to talk about her new book. It's not one thing, it's your mother. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Josh in Memphis. Hey, Josh, welcome.
How you doing, Miss Stephanie?
Good.
I just thought, first off, I think we don't need to, in dealing with North Korea, we can't forget that we had the opportunity to deal with this guy instead of going into Iraq 12 years ago. Not saying militarily necessarily, maybe sanctions, but we had the opportunity to put our influence and power that direction instead of going where there weren't weapons of mass destruction in the first place.
Yeah, good point.
And as bad as Saddam was, we made it worse by putting the Shia in power.
Yeah, I was Josh, I just read another analysis, I think, over the weekend of that. Jim, it's exactly what we always talked about, that basically the winner's Iran.
Yep.
After all this, you know, blood and treasure, right?
Absolutely. And my second question is, if this idiot does actually nuke someone or something like that, you know, should we retaliate with nuclear weapons as well? I mean, what should be the liberal position on this situation here? This one is kind of different than Iraq and
also the problem is
that
Pyongyang and Seoul are very close together, actually.
Well,
so if we
they're like 120 miles apart.
It's like bombing Santa Barbara and expecting not to get nuked.
Right. And Santa Barbara's beautiful. Yeah. Josh, now Josh, I mean, it's interesting. That's the thing, is there was so much focus on Saddam and weapons of mass destruction and what could happen. And you're right, the fact that he didn't have them, and we spent all of that blood and treasure, and you're right, ignored the people that actually do. You raise a really good point.
Absolutely. But what do you think we should do about him now from the liberal side of things?
Well, I mean, I don't know if there is a liberal and a conservative side of, the America not wanting to get blown up by nukes.
I think there are things you could do short of nuclear attack. I mean, we could probably just disable their infrastructure so that they can't do anything.
Right.
Maybe take out the missiles when they're on the ground.
Their infrastructure seems precariously perched anyway, you know, so I don't think it would be that hard to do.
All right. See, there you go. Solved. We just solved the whole North Korea dilemma.
I mean, when you're riding the Pyongyang subway and you always take your life in danger because you're going to get electrocuted.
Sure, there's that.
Then their infrastructure isn't that hard to take out.
You're doing them a favor by taking out the electricity so no one gets electrocuted on the train.
All right. Daily Beast, one of my new favorites.
Michael Tomasky.
Yeah, except this one is Lloyd Green.
Oh.
But there's been a lot of autopsies of the RNC autopsy.
Yes.
All equally entertaining.
One conducted by Jerry Brower.
It's hilarious. Like, they put this thing out, and then on cue, Don Young calls, you know, illegal immigrants wetbacks. And it's,
Really?
Yeah. The headline, Stuffy Old Men, Region, Religion, Race, and Class Define and Buffet the GOP. The once Republican solid South is starting to look like a blue and red checkerboard. Oh, dear.
Thank God you didn't say buffet. The GOP.
I did not.
Because when I first read that story, I thought it said buffet.
She's going to say buffet.
Yeah.
No. Buffett.
Buffett, exactly.
Right. Given what
Jimmy Buffet.
Given what the Republican Party is and where America's demographics are heading, unclear whether the Grand Old Party can successfully pivot to the center without jeopardizing its socially conservative evangelical base, which is already freaking out over marriage equality and other stuff. Electoral competitiveness remains elusive for Republicans as singles and younger voters have migrated to the Democratic Party. GOP also shackled with the legacies of Iraq, which we just talked about, Katrina, and the crash of 2008 that have led many to review Republican competence as oxymoronic. Just a little bit.
Sure.
The RNC formally endorsed immigration reform on Monday, outlined plans for a $10 million outreach to minority groups and gay voters, among them as a part of a strategy to make the GOP more welcoming and inclusive. See, I think when you have to announce outreach to groups, that right away seems a little bit patronizing, like you're probably not.
Right.
Yeah. So at best, the party is barely treading water. This is pretty stunning, actually. A recent poll showed both Marco Rubio and Jeb Bush trailing Hillary Clinton by double digits in Florida.
Wow.
And what they're saying is putting things in perspective. If Republicans don't win Florida, they can't retake the White House.
Yeah,
so it's not looking particularly promising.
Oh, I'd just love to see a debate between Hillary and Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin.
God, that'd be great.
God.
And it'd be great for Tina Fey and Amy Poehler as well.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Would you like some of the fun facts of the autopsy?
Sure.
Because, you know, it's a lot. It's some heavy reading. The RNC. They're calling it an autopsy. They're pretty much saying their party's dead, aren't they?
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah.
The corpse has to be cold for the autopsy to take place, pretty much.
Right. The activist base doesn't trust the establishment. A younger, more inclusion-minded set of party operators left on the sidelines of the 2012 election cycle don't like the old guard and ignored their warnings. And in recent weeks, divisions have opened within the GOP's legislative caucuses as insurgents like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz have become embroiled in spats with veterans like John McCain and Lindsey Graham. Who, this is going to be long and hard, I think, this inter-party fight, don't you think?
Yeah.
It's moss-covered elites versus...
It will be long and it will be hard.
Right, right, right.
Oh, Lindsay.
It's moss-covered elites versus wacko bird firebrands for the soul of the Republican Party. That's what John McCain called the Tea Party guys. All part of the process, specifically famous process of grieving, as established by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. Would you like to go through it?
Sure.
This is, I think, with the HuffPo.
Can't get enough of that.
Denial. They were there.
Uh-huh.
What? Everything is fine. Everyone treated the bloodless numbers crunching of pollsters as a rigged game that needed to be unskewed to see reality. That was, remember, during the election and right after the election. Mm-hmm. They were stunned, in
shocked
denial,
and stunned.
In denial. Then they moved to anger. It's not fair that we lost. Donald Trump went on Twitter declaring the democratic process that had to be a disgusting injustice and calling for a revolution. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Remember his Twitter tantrum the day of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ted Nugent, oh, I remember that. Remember what he tweeted the day of, after the election? Pimps, whores, and welfare brats and their soulless supporters have a president to destroy America. Good luck, America. You just voted for economic and spiritual suicide, soulless fools. Radio host Brian Fisher said, today was Pearl Harbor. Tomorrow we begin planning for Normandy. Wow, they are such drama queens.
They are.
And we recall this, before a fortnight had passed, residents from all 50 states had taken to the White House online petition to ask to secede from the United States.
Good luck with that.
Yes, the flailing fury then found a specific target, Karl Rove. Which is why he had that election night meltdown.
Right.
Then we moved into bargaining. Not study Elizabeth Kubler-Ross? We've got a few to go.
I'm living Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
What stage are you in?
Oh, feller. He's going through some stuff. Just be gentle. Okay. Bargaining. We need to do things the same things, only differently.
Yeah.
Right? Just do this with our hands. We need to,
right.
Yeah. And that's what they don't get. It's everything. It's your ideas and your candidates. It's all of it. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, you remember, he said we've got to stop being the stupid party.
Right.
So they were trying to bargain with us.
Well, they're trying to take a sack of manure and tell people it's chocolate. And
right.
It's not going over.
Okay, and yet this critical stance hadn't seemed to provide Jindal any insight into whether the GOP was pursuing stupid policies alongside with the stupid occasional outbursts. Again, pretty much all of it.
Yeah.
Stupid candidates, stupid ideas.
Stupid.
For the most part, however, the GOP seems content to stick with the plan that led to ruin in 2012. The party's still trying to pass the Paul Ryan budget, which is the Paul Ryan budget, only even worse now.
Right.
Right.
God.
Flirting with the taking the debt ceiling hostage, still maniacally averse to including revenues in any debt reduction deal, we move on to depression. There's no hope.
But they've admitted that there's really no debt crisis. Boner himself has said that
there is really no debt crisis. We just pull that out of our ass.
This was fun. Ann Coulter, remember that right after the election? She said, we have more takers than makers, and it's over. My country that is no longer is interested in conservative ideas, that is interested in handouts, which was what Mitt Romney's post-election analysis was.
Sure.
Well.
Why don't you move to Canada?
Oh, you remember Bill O'Reilly lamented that the white establishment is now the minority, and it's not a traditional America anymore. That's not going to go well for his whole war on Christmas. Or
whatever.
Do these people not realize
white people will not wake up. They're permanently napping, apparently.
This country is the most libertarian first world country in the entire world. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get more conservative than this country.
Excuse me, we're back to the... we're five. They went into acceptance. We need to make adjustments, which is what this whole autopsy thing was about.
Mm-hmm.
Republican governors talk about improving their state's governments contrast with national Republican rhetoric, which tends to cast government as an impediment to freedom and growth. Chris Christie, approval rating in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
John Kasich in Ohio, Susana Martinez in New Mexico did the math and accepted Medicaid expansion funds that will benefit their constituents. Finally, we come to Reince Priebus.
Reince Priebus!
And his autopsy. which frankly has one foot in acceptance and the other dragging limply across the field of bargaining. There's an urgent call.
He's Igor.
Exactly.
It's pronounced Igor.
We can help you with
I
that hump.
I can fix that hump for you.
We can help you with hump? That electoral hump.
You must be Igor.
No, it's pronounced Igor.
There's an urgent call to get immigration reform passed, work harder at minority outreach, continue to use state houses as a laboratory for effective governance, and diffuse this perception that Republicans are the party of the moneyed class. Except that,
perception?
Except that they're the party. Of the
yeah, right.
The autopsy calls for the GOP to do a better job competing in the celebrity endorsement space. That's the other thing they're going to work on.
Well, you can get Charlton Heston. Oh, wait a minute. No, you can't. You could get Jim Carrey. Pretending to be Charlton Heston.
Exactly. Good luck with that, with the celebrity endorsements. Because their music, you know, it's hard to top their musical talent. Who do they have? Who is the... Oh, Charlie Daniels was the off-key... Star Spangled Banner and whatever. And they
and Meatloaf.
Oh, and George Bush had Biz Markie, I believe.
Yes.
Right. At the last.
You! You're
And music, okay. And musically, on the other side, we have everybody else. Yep. Every talented musician in the world. Stephen Stills, who I was playing the ponies with
John
yesterday.
Mellencamp.
Right. All right. 45 minutes
and
after.
And hot chicks like Aisha Tyler.
There we go.
Wow. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back with actress Julia Sweeney next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
That we're looking at pictures of Michelle Obama.
Yeah, the bangs have grown out. The bangs are much better. Fantastic. See, she listened to me.
Yes, of course she did.
They're kicking off the Easter egg roll on the White House lawn today.
Exactly.
What Michelle Obama's doing.
Yes. I was initially anti-bang, and now on the first lady.
You flip-flopped.
I flip-flopped. They've grown out a little bit. They're growing. Oh, maybe they're growing on me.
You have them.
I do have them.
Yeah.
But I didn't initially like them on her. I have them because I'm hiding a lot. She has nothing to hide because she's beautiful.
And she never wears a baseball cap.
My forehead looks like Boris Karloff.
Kinda.
We took pictures. I'll have to say that I still haven't figured out how to get them out of my thing to your thing. But we took pictures yesterday. I was playing the ponies with Stephen Stills and David Bender and friends yesterday.
Right.
Right, and so there was, I have photo approval, and I personally deleted a bunch of, because the wind was blowing, and you could see my giant movie screen,
forehead.
Meg Whitman forehead. And I was like, no, not that one.
You have an IMAX forehead.
Exactly.
Hmm?
All right.
I thought, Meg Whitman, okay, I thought you were talking about Meg Ryan.
But I did, in case you just tuned in, I did win $17.50 at the track. Very excited. I might be an addict now. You'll be trying to call me, I'm playing the ponies, don't bother me now. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. We are waiting actress Julia Sweeney. Yep. She has she's just hilarious. She has a great new book out of it. It's Not One Thing, It's Your Mother.
You can relate.
Yes. Exactly. All right, meanwhile, more shootings in Texas. The DA was killed.
Yeah, and this shortly after some other official in the city was killed.
Right.
The
sheriff there.
And they did find the district attorney, Mr. McClellan, and his wife, Cynthia, deceased. They both had been shot.
So we don't know what this is about yet, right?
They're thinking the two killings might be linked. Someone is trying to kill the officials of the town.
Yeah, but we don't know over what. The sheriff, once again, yes.
We are taking precautions to protect other elected officials in the county. There will be increased security at the courthouse, visible security.
Ugh. Yep.
And it's kind of shades of that Christopher Dorner situation.
Yeah, And then one more time, Sheriff David Burns.
It's unnerving to the law enforcement community. It's unnerving to the community at large.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oy.
All right, so we will keep you updated on all of that stuff. Meanwhile, this is bad news for us dog owners. Police in Pennsylvania say a dog that was left in an unattended vehicle knocked it into gear and the car struck a pedestrian.
Oh.
He's fine.
Sure, but...
But dogs notoriously bad at stick shift.
Well, yeah.
If you're going to let them drive, let them...
Should
yes.
let Toonses drive.
Exactly.
You should let the cat drive. Yeah, absolutely.
That's just silly. Okay. And meanwhile, this is something I would do. Woman's house burns to the ground after she tries to kill a snake with fire. Yeah. A Texas woman was doing some yard
Texas
work.
Texas again.
Spotted a snake. Huh. Once again. While cleaning up, she saw a snake, threw gasoline on the snake, lit the snake on fire. Then the snake went into a brush pile. The fire caught the home on fire, and then the house burned to the ground. So the snake wins this round.
Maybe you could have opened up the door and let the snake escape.
Right. I would say the snake has won that particular round.
Yes. I think so.
Yeah.
Even though it's muerto.
Yes.
Well, that's true.
And Lindsey Graham would say it's... Well, never mind.
Oh, it would be a long, hard... Okay, in a completely unrelated story.
It will be long and it will be hard.
That is so immature of you to have isolated that particular soundbite that Senator Graham said to make it...
You told
some
me
way.
To!
How do you make a better condom, Jim? That's the subject of Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation putting up $100,000 to entice someone to try. We're looking for a next generation condom that significantly preserves or enhances pleasure.
Well, yeah, one that doesn't feel like it's there.
Wearing a raincoat in the shower.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. You people with those parts say. Okay. Oh, here she is. Yay. Very exciting. Our good friend Julia Sweeney joins us now to talk about her new book. Hello, Julia Sweeney.
She's going to follow
so
that.
I'm glad to talk to you. How are you?
So happy to talk to you, too. Your new book sounds fabulous. If it's not one thing, it's your mother.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So it is described as a unique parenting book because you are a mother.
Yes, it's not really, believe me, it's not an advice book by a long stretch. It's really like a series of catastrophes.
So it's more like a bad advice book.
Yes, exactly. It's like, don't do anything I did.
Don't drive like my brother.
I wrote this book. It's about how I decided to become a mom and then how I achieved my goal and then how I met my husband and moved to the Midwest. It's all about that.
You adopted a little girl, and it's kind of hilarious because you talk about you were a single mom.
Yes.
Yeah, you adopted her from China, and one of the things you went through was realizing that the sounds you were making was the Mandarin phrase for I'm hungry. And it took
yes,
you
exactly. She kept saying, Emma, Emma, and I kept going, I just thought she was going, goo, goo, gaga, and I just sort of laugh and push my finger in her stomach. You're so cute. And then we were...
As she was slowly starving. Yes.
And the Cantonese waitresses said, she is saying, I'm hungry, I'm so very hungry. It was embarrassing.
One assumes you've fed her since then. But okay. So you talk about your mother actually gave you a pillow, right? That's where this came from.
Well, that's where the title came from. She gave me this pillow, and it was embroidered with, if it's not one thing, it's your mother. And my mother kept saying how hysterical it was, and every time she said it was hysterical, it was less hysterical to me. And I really didn't want it, and I didn't like it, and it wasn't that funny to me. And then... So I just kind of put it in the closet. When she came to visit, I would put it on the guest room bed or whatever. And then when I adopted my daughter, I immediately realized, yes, it was in fact very funny. And so I put it on my daughter's bed. And when I would take people through the house, they'd always laugh. And then when my daughter was 7, she comes into the kitchen with a pillow and says, this is just not that funny. You really have to take this away.
You said when your mom gave it to you, you said the pillow may as well have been embroidered with my mother's a first-class narcissist, and all I got out of it was this stupid pillow.
Yes.
But the book you say it came from, you were unexpectedly telling your daughter about the birds and the bees, and what was her response?
Well, the whole birds and the bees thing was really an example of me trying to do the right thing and saying that I'm not going to lie and tell the truth about everything as I descend into lies and desperation. Because she just keeps asking obvious questions that I don't... Like, we go so quickly from the act of sex to how gay people have sex in intricate ways.
Oh.
Like, within an hour.
Wow.
She's very technical.
So I'm saying, I don't know. And she's saying, I have an idea how they do it. And then she's coming up with ideas that are accurate.
Wow.
And I'm saying, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Look, this is awkward now.
Somebody's been watching Skinamax.
Aw, honey, I wish we had more time with you. Love you so much. Got to come in studio soon. The book
okay.
is It's Not One Thing, It's Your Mother. Thanks, honey. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, there she goes. I need more time with
I
her.
I know.
All right, Jackie Shatner's Healthcare Corner coming up next as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Sexyliberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Check it out. Look, you can get this fabulous t-shirt that Mama is sporting.
Yes.
This very morning. And tickets to the big Sexy Liberal Palooza in the Midwest. April 13th. Only three shows this year. We already did our East Coast. This is our only Midwest, and then we'll do one West Coast. That's it this year. The whole thing. All right, so lots of talk about healthcare heating up, and that means...
It's Shatner again.
Good morning, Jackie Shatner.
Good morning.
Now, you did not join the thruple, you, me, and Melissa Fitzgerald, for Stations of the Cross on Friday.
No, downtown. It was presented to me by Melissa as, you're not going to want to do this, but...
Right.
And then she explained it to me, and I said, yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yes. However, I'm trying to, you know, have equality in the thruple. I mean, I was not invited to a Seder by you. I would have been happy to come.
Did she have a Seder?
I didn't have a Seder.
Well, find one. Bring me to the next one.
I'll get right on maybe, that. Maybe, have you met me? Do I look like I have Seders?
Maybe you can hit up Elijah for a ride.
Yeah.
I don't even have a toaster to heat my matzah. I mean, come on.
All right. So we've been talking about this in the headline this morning. Because the timing is going to be crucial. Can mass marketing heal the splits on Obamacare? This is why every time we have you're on, a million people call and say, can you ask Jackie this or that? Why, first of all, does this feel so complex and why people are so, you know, just nervous about it?
Well, first of all, have you ever tried to navigate the health insurance system the way it stands?
Right.
Right. It's just complicated as is. And what we're trying to do is make changes to a system that's already complicated and somehow teach people that what we're doing is good and is not going to hurt them because people don't like change inherently. It's hard to move large swaths of people into new initiatives. And then on top of that, you're trying to combat the fears on the other side. So you're trying to quell the fires of misinformation, and at the same time, you're trying to get people excited about changes that people are inherently skeptical about. So it's a heavy lift,
yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah, well, I mean, as we've talked about, I think the Republicans spent so long fear-mongering and trying to repeal it. So, you know, now the piece I'm reading this morning says, how do you convince millions of average Americans that one of the most complex and controversial programs designed by the government may actually be a good deal for them? I mean, that's going to be key, is getting people to understand it, A, and B, to do it, right, to enroll.
Right. I mean, I think people are going to have to sign up to see what impact it's going to have on them. I mean, that's what it's going to take, is people are going to take a look at what they have now, and they're going to take a look at what's available, and they're going to decide what the best opportunity is and what the best deal is financially and also in terms of what the benefits offered are. I mean, that's what's so complicated about health insurance and the fact that we have such a complicated system, is that, you know, it may look like you have low premiums, but when you take a look at the details of your plan, oh wait, you have thousands of dollars in a deductible. So all of that money's coming out of your pocket because even though you pay premiums, their coverage for something doesn't kick in until you've already paid a tremendous amount of money out of pocket. But people don't see those details because the insurance companies intentionally hide them or write them in a way that's complicated and hard to understand. So the marketing on the insurance side is so complicated that people get stuck and they end up buying a product that isn't very good and ends up being very expensive in the long run.
Right. Well, I mean, what we were talking about, too, is the fact that we still have an opposition, I guess you would call it, that still is rooting for the failure. That, you know, this, it says Republicans are hoping for an Obamacare flop that helps them gain control of the Senate. So you still have another side that's actively trying to spread misinformation, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there are plenty of Republicans, besides the handful of Republican senators, or excuse me, the Republican governors who have decided to implement, like, Medicaid expansion or state exchanges. You still have plenty of governors in charge and state legislatures who want to see it fail. fail because they think it's going to be a road to political success for them, even though it's going to be bad for their constituents' daily lives. And then I think also you have to keep in mind that you've got a tremendous amount of money coming from the industrial complex, insurance companies, the hospitals, the pharmaceutical companies. They're spending a tremendous amount of money helping members of Congress message false information and ways to detract from the changes that we're making to try to improve the system because it's not in their best financial interest. So you still got the lobbyists, you still got the big money, you still got the corporations all tossing money into trying to defeat this, even though we're working to implement it.
Right. So they just did a study. You know, one of the problems they're saying is it's like obviously the 48 million uninsured in the country, they're not a monolithic mass, and they did a study that showed like six distinct groups, the healthy and young comprising 48% of the uninsured, the sick, active, and worried, 29% of the uninsured, and the passive and unengaged, 15%. So it's you know, when you're trying to do a marketing plan, too, it's how do you reach all of those groups, right? They're saying, this particular analysis is saying the healthy and young take good health for granted. They're tech-savvy and have low motivation to enroll. The sick, active, and worried are mostly Gen X and baby boomers, active seekers of healthcare information and worried about costs. The passive and unengaged, mostly 49 and older, lives for today, doesn't understand much about health insurance. So the challenge, like they're saying, for the administration is to sign up a lot of the young and healthy as well as the passive and unengaged, right, to offset higher costs.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a big marketing challenge in terms of how to talk to people in a way that resonates with them. And that's something that was a challenge during the campaign as well, because when you tell people horror stories about the health insurance industry, they don't want to be scared in that way, right? Those horror stories don't resonate. What you have to do is get people angry and fired up, right? Nobody ever said, I'm scared as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Right.
So people, you have to get people fired up and motivated. And I think the good thing about this, and I use good in a very modified way, is that everybody becomes a different kind of healthcare consumer once they're faced with some sort of healthcare problem, and we all do eventually.
Well, let's talk about, just so people know, what the time frame is. So uninsured Americans will be able to sign up for the subsidized private health plans through new insurance markets in their state starting October 1st, right?
Right. October is when the online sign-ups will be available. You'll start to be able to comparison shop online and see what's available in your area and what the cost are, what the benefits are, what looks best for you.
So then coverage under the law takes effect January 1st. That's also the legal requirement that most Americans carry health insurance goes into force. That's when they have to stop discriminating, right, against people with
pre-existing conditions.
Right. And what they're saying is the new law obviously mainly geared to the uninsured people who buy coverage directly, right, from insurance companies. Most people that have their insurance through employer plans aren't going to be affected, right?
Right. I mean, that's a big thing to keep in mind as we talk about all of this. We're a very large company, and 95% of people get their health insurance through work. It's only if you haven't had a job that's offered you health insurance have you really had to navigate this on your own. And that's when it becomes, I mean, when we talk about the people who are active seekers of information, they're usually people who either are self-employed or freelancers or, you know, people who are part-time workers who aren't offered insurance through their job. But a majority of Americans don't even understand how difficult the system is because their employers take care of it for them. And they may not pay the full bill, but they handle all the administrative work that comes along with finding a plan and navigating the issues involved with buying health insurance. So I think a lot of people don't understand just how complicated and manipulative the insurance industry can be, and that's why it affects different portions of the population in different ways.
Right, and you've said that before about blame the right people, you know, blame the insurance companies because they're the ones. We talked, there was a story last week, remember, about insurers are going to have to pay an average of 32% more for medical claims, blah, blah, blah. And we talked about the actuary study, all that stuff, right?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the idea is the insurance companies are complaining that once they have to take everybody, they're going to have to end up paying more because sicker people are going to be in the pool, and that's going to make everything more expensive for them. Never mind the fact that they make record profits year after year after year,
right.
And what they could do is actually spend more money on health care as opposed to buying back their own stock and padding their pockets and inflating their salaries and that sort of thing. But what they're doing now is trying to pass along any of the taxes involved, taxes on the insurance industry, not taxes on us as individuals,
right.
But the insurance companies are trying to pass along taxes to the consumer because they don't want to have to take any sort of cut in the money they're generating.
So Jan Schakowsky, our friend, the rockin' congresswoman from the great state of Illinois, she predicts a vindication for Obamacare. Interesting, because you helped get it enacted in the first place, whether you agree. She said it's harder to sell what is a pretty new idea for Americans while it's still in the abstract. I think people, if as people experience it, they're going to love it, much like Medicare. I think it's going to be a very popular feature as far as the American way of life before too long. Do you agree?
I think that if we make the changes down the line that we need to make, I agree. I think it's going to be rough going at first because I think there are some cost control issues that we're going to have to work out. And I think that farther along we go, the more opportunity we'll have to tweak this in a way that makes it not only good coverage but also cost effective. It'll take some time, but it's a heavy lift. Again, I mean, we're not talking about something that can be, I mean, people joke about how long the healthcare bill is. What did you want, a pamphlet? I mean, we're talking about reforming our healthcare system in this country. It's a huge, huge responsibility.
It's a big effing deal. No worries, our good friend. Of course, on the other side of the island, it's hard to say if it's going to be, you know, somewhere in the middle. But of course, Mitch McConnell said, I agree it'll be a big issue in 2014. I think it'll be an albatross around the neck of every Democrat who voted for it. They're going to be running away from it, not toward it.
No, I think the only albatross is our system as it stands now. What we have now is totally unsustainable. It's abusive. There is no way it could possibly continue. And so what we've created is a step in the right direction, and it's just going to get better and better over time. And I think the more people who are in the system who understand what is now available to them, especially those with pre-existing conditions who can't even get coverage in the marketplace right now, I think it's going to be much more successful than anybody anticipates. The other thing I just want to make clear is that at the time, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi had made a comment that, you know, we need to pass this bill so everyone can read it. That's not actually what she said. What she said at the time, if you see it in context, is when we pass this bill and people have a chance to read it, they'll really understand what's in it. And I think that's what's manifesting itself now and what Representative Schakowsky is reiterating, is that once we see this implemented, people are going to understand what's in it and they're going to like it.
Yeah, and that's what they're afraid of. All right, I have to go. I have to plan my surprise Seder for you. Oh! Now I ruined the surprise. Damn. All right. Jackie Schechter, great stuff as always, honey.
No problem. Talk
there
to
she
you.
Goes. Newswoman extraordinaire, Jackie Schechter. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I believe they're called Uggs.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Paul in Michigan. Hey, Paul, welcome.
Hey, great show, you guys.
Thank you.
I wanted to introduce Ann Coulter and the Republicans to facts. And that is, the real takers in this country are the billionaire robber barons that the Republicans work for, such as the oil companies who get $4 billion a year of our tax money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, they rip us off at the gas pump at the same time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney, who makes $25 million a year, at least, and pays 9% in taxes. There's a taker.
Don't you wish we get, somehow his tax returns do get leaked finally? I mean, you just know.
Yeah.
There is stuff in there. I mean, clearly, the fact that he right up to the end refused. It's all the stuff you're talking about, I'm sure.
Yeah, and where was the media? Could you imagine if Obama didn't refuse to release his tax returns?
Yeah.
You'd never hear the end of it,
right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I mean, Donald Trump's on TV asking for not just his tax returns, but his college transcripts, and what else did he want? You know, besides birth certificate? I mean, ridiculous.
Prove to me that you're not from Kenya.
Exactly. Vic in West Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Vic.
Good morning, Stephanie and the gang. I just wanted to remind you and Jackie of the $15 to $25 billion that the insurance company had to pay back last year because their administrative costs can only be so much.
Yeah, that's true. And that's another good feature of Obamacare.
Well, that's true. And I didn't hear anybody say that on there, so I just thought you'd pass it on to your listeners.
Yep, there you go. There you go.
Consider it passed.
There you go. Thank you very
much.
Thanks,
honey.
We called you honey.
Call me honey. Cute. All right. Because it was a long weekend and I'm still...
Drunk?
Yes, I thought... This is your favorite beer. It's a story about beer.
Okay.
Although it's kind of disgusting.
Beer. Beer.
Beer maker creates brew out of yeast from his facial hair.
Duh.
What?
Rogue Ale, that's certainly rogue. That is a rogue way to make beer. A brewery and pub based in Newport, Oregon, developing an ale made out of yeast harvested from the beard of award-winning brewmaster.
Or do you mean literally the beard or?
Literally his beard.
Yes,
his,
okay.
His beard.
Beard.
Why does
beer
he have yeast growing in his beard?
Because there's yeast in your hair. It's just, but it's still disgusting.
Is there yeast in your hair? Really?
I believe so. That's why he... I don't know. Do I look like a brewmaster? I don't know.
If you have good hygiene, I don't think you have yeast growing in your hair.
What's he been doing that never...
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Massachusetts man pleads not guilty to booby-trapping ex-wife's dryer to explode.
Oh.
Some relationships just end badly. Not that I would know.
No, no.
No one's exploded your dryer, though.
No, that's... See?
There's that.
Your head of the game.
This makes me feel more of a winner. Dean Weeks was ordered to fix his ex-wife's dryer as part of his divorce settlement. Apparently, he was still having some issues.
Wait a minute. This was part of a divorce settlement?
Yes. So he allegedly did the reasonable thing, which is he booby-trapped her dryer to explode the next time she used it. The bomb did explode. It just burned her legs. And blew her tiny dog out of the apartment's second floor window. The dog is okay.
Okay.
But it was like something about Mary.
But her spanks will never be the same.
Right.
That is right out of There's Something About Mary.
Yeah.
See, and you know I wouldn't have done the story if the dog was not okay.
Right, right.
Yes.
That seems like a bad idea. That's part of your divorce settlement is to be in the position to booby trap your wife's house.
Yeah.
Right. And some people, hopeless romantics like me, however, not all that smart. Man who shipped himself in a box to his girlfriend nearly suffocates after getting lost in the mail.
Okay. Is this an April Fool's thing?
No, it is not.
Okay.
He was a Stevie Wonder fan, and he thought he was being clever when he asked a friend to box him up and ship him via courier.
Signed, sealed, delivered.
Right, to his girlfriend's office as a romantic joke. The gag became a bit too literal when couriers got the address wrong, and he ended up almost dying after 3 hours inside a box with no air holes.
Wow.
At least learn that from this story. If you're going to FedEx yourself to your girlfriend, please.
Use air holes.
Thank you. Put air holes in your box.
Don't be an air hole. Just have air holes. There's no need to be an air hole.
He said, I did not realize it would take so long. I tried to make a hole in the cardboard, but it was too thick, and I didn't want to spoil the surprise by shouting.
Sure.
No. Better to...
As you do.
Better to just die, but keep the surprise intact. Okay. All right. Anger management stack.
Okay.
Ornery pizza lover arrested for punching delivery guy over missing garlic knots. Do not forget the garlic knots.
What's a garlic
knot? Important safety tip. Thank you, Egon. Do not cross the garlic knots.
Right. A dispute between a man and a pizza delivery guy resulted in an arrest after punches were thrown over missing garlic knots. I don't even know what these are. They're breaded garlic knots.
Tied in a knot.
In a knot.
Coated with garlic butter, probably.
Right, right. The 19-year-old say that the guy sucker punched him in the face because he forgot to start the garlic knots. Wheeler, who is unemployed, weighs 346 pounds and has the word fat tattooed on his left arm.
Nice.
And he was not amused at not receiving his garlic knots.
He's probably had a few too many garlic knots, by the sound of it.
Perhaps that's what the pizza delivery man was trying to be a helper. Okay. All right. All right. One last fun fact. Man dressed as Bigfoot run over while trying to kickstart Sasquatch sighting rumor. A Montana man was struck and killed while attempting to convince passing motorists on Highway 93 that he was Bigfoot. Police investigating whether alcohol played a factor in the incident.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say...
Yes.
That actually did not have a happy ending, did it?
The real Bigfoot's too smart for that sort of thing.
Right, exactly.
He's been evasive for 75 years now.
Right, that's why you can't even get a picture of him. He would definitely not be on Highway 93.
You get that one picture.
Right. Not quite as clever as the Loch Ness Monster, yet still. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Allow me to introduce myself. My name is
Stephanie Miller.
Ah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Lyle in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Lyle.
Good morning, ma'am, and thank you for the call. Taking my call.
Did I call you?
Pardon me?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I have a slightly different view of the situation with the health care program. It goes like this. I believe that the insurance companies have already analyzed the law, have identified those features that they see as workarounds, and have, of course, come up with a strategy. They've identified those features that they want changed and have probably implemented their strategy on that. They have identified the segment of the market that they intend to go after and have a strategy for doing that. Those evil geniuses are so far ahead of us, it's incredible.
Oh, but how are they going to get out of covering people with pre-existing conditions? That's in the law.
They won't. They'll figure out how to handle it, and they'll just absorb it. They'll segment the market to identify those that they're after and take care of the rest.
All right. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They are brilliant.
They're evil geniuses, the insurance companies.
That's ma'am. Yes, yes ma'am.
Yeah, well, I've actually learned that the hard way. You remember when I had that oak tree next to my house and it split in half and half of it fell on my house and half fell on my neighbor's house?
Right.
They found out a way not to pay for any of that because of something. I don't remember what.
How did they weasel out of that?
I don't remember. My homeowners, it's because there's ridiculous rules in there. Yeah. All right, this was kind of, well, we were talking about Jeff Flake on Meet the Press.
Yep.
That was kind of big news for a Republican in office.
Especially someone as conservative and Mormon as he
right.
is. Yeah.
Thank you. This was on Meet the Press.
Could you support a Republican presidential candidate someday who supported same-sex marriage?
Oh, I think that's inevitable. There will be one, and I think he'll receive Republican support, or she will. I think that... that yes, that's, the answer is yes.
Which, is, as you say, is kind of a big deal because Karl Rove said it, but he's not in elected office. Again, didn't sound happy about it.
No, but
however,
knew it was inevitable.
This is huge. Speaking of Mormons, everybody was talking about this weekend. Marie Osmond started talking about gay marriage in support of her lesbian daughter. I didn't know she had a gay daughter, but she has also come out in support of marriage equality, which is... Again, big deal for Mormons. She reaffirmed her support of marriage equality in a new interview. She's promoting her new memoir, The Key is Love, My Mother's Wisdom, A Daughter's Gratitude. Spoke frankly about her daughter, Jessica, who is gay. She said, the God I believe in is a God of love, not fear. I believe in my daughter's civil rights as a mother. I think my daughter deserves everything that she desires in life. She's a good girl. She's a wonderful child. And then she added, I don't think God made one color flower. I think he made many.
Aww.
She said, I think everybody should have the right to share homes and finances with someone they care about. She said, you know, on those types of things, I'm very supportive. When it comes to marriage, I think that civil rights need to be for all. So, I've met her. We've got to see if we can get her on. I've interviewed her before, and she's
awesome.
Really, she's really nice. She was in a good sport because at the time she was doing a sitcom with Betty White, and I asked her if Betty required her to be spayed or neutered before she would work with her.
And what'd she say?
She laughed really hard.
That's because she didn't know what to say.
Meanwhile, you know what? I knew there was a reason I didn't like that one. Meanwhile, Osmond's brother, Alan.
Oh.
Alan.
Wasn't he the funny-looking one?
No, that was Merrill.
Oh.
However.
I'm not up on all things Osmond, apparently.
I am. I was obsessed with all of them. I mean, mostly in love with Donnie, but still.
Oh, and then Jimmy came along and stole your affection.
Right. Right, for a minute.
You remember Jimmy?
Sure.
The little one?
Yes. No, no one ever stole my affection away from Donnie. And then as an adult, I got to sing yo-yo with him, and now I can die. I was a little offbeat even as a child. Yo-yo, my favorite. Not one bad apple, not...
No.
Go away, little girl. No. I went down to yo-yo. Anyway, Alan just hosted a pro-family rally at the Utah State Capitol earlier this week aimed at benefiting the protection of marriage from gay and lesbian Americans. Mm. So, trouble in Osmondland, people.
Well,
awkward
like
family dinners, as we're saying.
Sounds like he doesn't love his niece as much as Marie Osmond does.
No, apparently not. There is a good piece in Salon about did TV change America's mind on gay marriage? And I think...
Yes.
Oh,
I firmly believe
well,
yes.
Well, then there's no need for us to talk anymore. Well, good night, everybody!
Tell me if you disagree.
No, Joe Biden.
Will and Grace.
Right, Joe Biden brought that up. The Salon writing, did gay and lesbian characters on TV help pave the way toward acceptance of gay marriage in this spring's potential Supreme Court landmark? So Vice President Biden said last year on Meet the Press, he said that when things really began to change is when the social culture changes. I think Will and Grace probably did more to educate the American public than almost anyone's ever done so far. People fear that which is different. Now they're beginning to understand.
And Neil Patrick Harris playing a rabidly straight guy.
On Met Your Mother. Yes.
It's all so confusing. I don't understand, but he's... What?
Well, I think John Fugelsang is correct in that HIV, the whole plague, brought gays out from the shadows and into the sunlight, if you will. And then Hollywood felt free to, you know, make art and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And well, commerce about them.
Ruth Pundit made that point this morning. He was talking about why they call it homosexual marriage because the word sex is in there. Mm-hmm. And so he even said that. So you don't picture the cuddly family on Modern Family. You picture nasty sexual acts or something rather than.
Well, it doesn't.
Right. Than loving, cuddling families.
Right.
Yeah.
Janet in Washington, as I've said before, gay sex, only dirty. If you're doing it right. Janet in Washington.
Goes with straight sex.
Stephanie, right. Our neighbor's tree fell on our house, too. And here's how they weasel out of it. And this was in a huge, like, rainstorm, and it came down. It was like a hurricane, and it was a huge, huge tree.
Wasn't a eucalyptus,
and our neighbors
it?
Were going to help until their insurance company told them, no, you don't have to pay for this. Because we hadn't told them prior to the tree falling on our house that we felt it was a hazard. And I can guarantee you that after we spent the money to clean it up, we sent them a letter. And it's really unfortunate, but this is what you're forced to do. We sent them a letter and said, you know, we really feel that if another tree falls on our house, that it's going to be your problem. They did pay for half of it, or you know, so they were good in that respect, but unless you warn them ahead of time, that's kind of how they weasel out of it. So, you know, that caller that called about the health insurance, he's right. They're working on it. They're reading it. Right. They're picking it apart.
Well, insurance companies are weaselly. That's not news to any of us that have dealt with it. What's the thing if you hit a deer, Janet? Have you ever, is that, that's under the act of God thing, too, right? If you're in your car?
You know, I'll tell you, here's the truth. An insurance agent, because we were shopping around for home insurance, and they said, do you know how you can tell an insurance agent's house in a flood? And I said, no. And they said, well, it's the one on fire. So, I mean, that is, set your car on fire, I guess, if you hit a deer, because it's the only way they're going to pay for it.
They find some way of, like, I think that's what it's labeled, like an act of God or something. I think the deer's insurance company needs to cover it. It's something like that. It's a loophole.
What, God chased the deer out of the woods and into the road?
I don't know.
Keep in mind that the insurance companies are very upset about climate change because they're having to pay a lot of these claims. So the climate deniers are going to have to start dealing with the insurance agents and the insurance companies. And let me tell you, this is where it's going to get very, very interesting because they are very powerful. They've got a lot of money. So all of a sudden, you're going to start to see the climate deniers start to come around when they have to deal with these insurance guys because the insurance companies have all the money. They truly do.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was great to talk to you. Thank you so much, Stephanie. Bye-bye.
You too, honey.
I've got a huge eucalyptus tree next to my house, and there's no good way for it to fall.
Right.
So I'm a little worried about that.
Yeah. Here's a good way to outsmart the insurance companies. Just don't ever die. Mm. They hate that. Mm. Just don't hurry up and die.
All right.
The world's oldest woman says she got there by being super boring. Gawker brings us 116-year-old Bessie Cooper.
Celebrate
another birthday, the world's oldest living person. When a super old person is asked how they managed to live so long, they typically give a fun, sassy answer like, I eat jelly beans and fried chicken every day. Or once a month I hunt a human for sport.
It's usually something like that.
Gawker's just making this up.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Bessie seems to have reached 116 by being totally boring. I mind my own business and I don't eat junk food. By refusing to sully her lips with gossip, Gawker writes, Cooper is cheating the world out of 100 years of secrets.
Bet she has a shot of rye every day.
What did Grover Cleveland smell like? Was Lizzie Borden fun at parties? Were people smaller back then? Etc. We'll never know any of that.
Grover Cleveland wasn't smaller. That's for sure.
Neither was Taft.
William Howard Taft,
Tim in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim. Welcome.
Hey, thanks. You know, I'm a physician. I was educated in Europe in the late 70s and early 80s. I practiced primarily there in several different countries. I never here in the U.S., but I do have friends who are in practice here. So I just wanted to say that, you know, while the reform seems good on top, it's a lot like the fiscal cliff negotiations, how those turned out, in that some of the few benefits that are really good and that really will help a number of people, for those, we're giving away everything, with allowing the private insurance companies to still essentially control everything and to have a continuing private system that just operates in anarchy.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've said that so many times that sometimes the simplest answers are best, and really Medicare for All or, you know, some type of single payer makes the most sense. You're right. I mean, while this system is still for profit, we're still going to have some of the same problems, right?
Right. And the costs are going to continue to climb. This is a Band-Aid. And eventually, down the road, we're going to have to look at a replacement, because the costs are going to climb, and it's still going to present an enormous
problem. That's what Jackie
problem.
Always says. It's a cost problem. It's not
it, right. Yeah. It is with that profit motive in there.
Right.
To get the most profit you can, and having no kind of cost controls or negotiation ability, they're just going to continue.
Yep, I agree. Single payer it is. Single payer it is. Good. Mm-hmm. Done. Can we do that to them at some point? You know, you're right. This is not working. Only one thing left to do now.
Single payer.
All right, 46 minutes. Hey, how did that happen? 46 minutes after
what
the hour. Right back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. JD in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, JD.
Oh, is this me talking to you? Oh, hey, Steph. You're
Hi, JD.
Awesome. By the way, hey, I have a contest.
Okay.
It's who's hotter? Is it Chris or what's her name? The red-haired girl.
Jackie Scheckner.
Jackie. Oh my God.
Oh, and they're both equally hot. Let's not start fights. Everybody's pretty.
She's Steffi. She's going to turn me straight. No, that's not possible. I am here to tell you my jeans do not work. I'm taking them off. And
wow.
Jackie
Scheckner makes your jeans tight. That's awesome.
She is. I think I'm in love. Well, I'm in love with you, too. And
okay.
Randy and
thanks for Mike. Thanks for making me an afterthought. I appreciate it.
No, I'm not. You're a dear.
Thank you.
You
are a dear.
Your family were Republicans. I know a dear.
All right. Thank you, buddy. All right. But I don't make his jeans tight. That's the important thing there. Although we didn't even have the decency to remember her name, for God's sake.
Yeah, what's her name?
The red hair. The red hair. Her hair is not that red, is it?
Yeah, it is.
On camera, it looks very red.
We Rojo.
Yeah. Well, gee, he doesn't
we
care. It all makes his jeans tight. Okay, let's go.
It makes your jeans tight.
And I'm a deer, too. Oh, boy, that's when you've passed your prime. Oh, you're
poutine.
Whatever, too. Jim in Milwaukee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hey, you had a caller earlier that talked about the evil geniuses in the insurance companies.
Yes.
And I just wanted to mention, if you look at Obamacare, any increase in premiums over 10% is subject to approval by the state, is subject to approval by the federal government. And also, remember, 80% of premiums taken in have to be used to provide health services.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of Obamacare is pretty well thought out. They
yeah.
can't just say, okay, 50% increase.
No, I mean, I think there is a, you're right, Jim, there's a lot of good stuff in there, and I hope that Jan Schakowsky is right, that once people really start to understand what is in there and start to benefit from it, they're going to love it. And I think that's what the Republicans are afraid of. It's why they're still campaigning against it, right, even after the election, after the Supreme Court ruling, right?
Right. But a lot of it doesn't kick in until 2014, so, you know, they still have, you know, a year.
They have a year of demagoguing. They have a year of demagoguing to go. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, hopefully people will learn to like the law once it starts affecting their friends.
Yep. Well, do a friend a favor. Just explain something in Obamacare to them.
Yeah.
God's sakes. You can learn it from the little red-haired girl on the show. It's like Charlie Brown. She's a little red-haired girl now.
Sure.
That makes that guy's jeans tight. Okay.
And
all
was,
I know.
And he was a gay, too.
Right.
You Not Charlie a, Brown.
If you make a gay's jeans tight,
yeah.
you know you're a smoking hottie. Jackie Schechter, talking to you. Okay. All I know, Jim, is Samuel L. Jackson is not going to be happy about this. A man tried to take 27 snakes on a plane. After he's already...
snakes off my plane!
Exactly.
Snakes.
Apparently.
Why did it have to be snakes?
Authorities say a Brazilian man tried to take a 27 snakes.
Oh, well. You know what they're like.
At a,
Brazilians.
Is that 27 snakes in your pants, or do you just think Jackie Schechter's hot?
Snakes will make your jeans tight. That's
yeah,
true.
Sure, 27 of them will.
Wow.
You know, here's the... Well, you know this about me. Here's the kind of gay I am. I went out yesterday with my friend Rob, and I said, your package looks incredible in those jeans. I do. I'm a helper and a complimenter, even though I'm... I did. It really looked spectacular.
Maybe he had snakes in there.
I said, good job on that. Nicely done, sir.
I don't think he had anything to do with that.
What's going on down there? All right. As you know, I fly a specific airline. I had to book my tickets to Chicago. April 13th, Sexy Liberal, Chicago. Tickets almost gone. John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and I. You know what airline I fly. It's, well, after the middle-aged bicarious woman hit on me in the on the... flight from Tucson, back from vacation.
Settle in, relax, with even more legroom than before. In-flight personal video, newly redesigned comfortable seats, and the finest airline meals in the industry. So when you're settling in with our award-winning service and a strange, bicurious middle-aged woman offers to shove her tongue down your throat, sit back and enjoy the ride. It's something special in the air.
You know, there have been liftoffs where I had my doubts, but then I realized you just have to lay back and enjoy the ride.
And speaking of the gays, did you hear
yes.
what Cardinal Dolan, New York Cardinal Dolan, said on ABC's This Week yesterday?
Nikki Dolan's?
No.
That monkey.
Cardinal Timothy Michael Dolan. He said, well, the first thing I'd say to a gay couple that feels unwelcome in the Catholic Church is, I love you too, and God loves you, and you are made in God's image and likeness, and we want your happiness, but you're entitled to friendship.
Right. Yeah,
oh,
I saw that.
Nothing
beyond friendship.
Nothing beyond friendship if you're
right.
The gay.
Just like a priest.
Thanks. It's like a little consolation prize.
Yeah. Thanks.
We'll allow you to have friendships.
Don't do anything with those disgusting uglies of yours.
Wow.
All right. Frank in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Frank.
Yeah, regarding the health care bill, what we have to do is make it non-profit like they do in Europe. Ronald Reagan privatized it, you know, the world's greatest president. And, you know, if you go back, William McGuire, when he retired from United Healthcare a couple of years ago, walked away with $5.5 billion with a B dollars.
Yep.
And William Helmsley, the new healthcare director of United Healthcare, is going to walk away with about $700 million. You know, in Europe, if they make a profit on health insurance, they go to jail. And out here, they have a license to steal from people that are sick.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, Frank. By the way, Jim, You know, we don't trust our GPS, being old and persnickety as we are. Mm-hmm. It's because of stories like this. Bad advice from GPS leads man into a harbor. Anchorage, Alaska. Poor advice from the car's GPS. You didn't let a man to drive off the ferry and straight into a small boat harbor.
Why was it telling him to drive off a ferry?
Because it's voodoo.
It's not voodoo.
Trust, no.
It's common sense. If you're on a ferry, don't drive.
People see they trust their gadgets too much.
Yes. It's just like,
well, then you're an idiot.
That
he's probably texting at the same time while he's listening to his GPS.
Texting someone about how bad his GPS
yeah.
is. All right, that's it for us. I'd like to thank Crystal Boyd, Jim Ward, T-Bone on phones and drums, Jackie over in the Current News Center. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.